This is Jay Sekulow. We've got a Supreme Court nominee, Judge Brett Kavanaugh from the D.C. Circuit.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
It is my honor and privilege to announce that I will nominate Judge Brett Kavanaugh to the United States Supreme Court.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Mr. President, thank you. Throughout this process, I've witnessed firsthand your appreciation for the vital role of the American judiciary. No president has ever consulted more widely or talked with more people from more backgrounds to seek input about a Supreme Court nomination. Mr. President, I am grateful to you, and I'm humbled by your confidence in me.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, if you judge a person by the enemies they have, which is what Winston Churchill famously said, if you've got people angry at you, they're writing bad things about you, must be you stood up for something. And that's a good thing. Well, here's what the ACLU says. Send an urgent message to your senators now. Trump's Supreme Court nominee must take a public position on Roe versus Wade before the confirmation vote. Planned Parenthood, Trump has selected Judge Brett Kavanaugh to sit on the Supreme Court, confirming all of our worst fears. The DNC sent out a piece saying Donald Trump just announced Brett Kavanaugh as his nominees for the Supreme Court. Let's get one thing straight. Already this year, the conservative majority on the Supreme Court, and then it said sanctioned work attacks on workers' rights, further threatened a woman's right to choose. By the way, if threatening a woman's right to choose was a crisis pregnancy center, not having to refer that's a pro-life crisis pregnancy center, having to refer women that come into their clinics to an abortion facility. Compelled speech. Do you think that they require the abortion facilities to say, here's the pro-life crisis pregnancy center that could get you through this? They don't do that. So anyway, so that's what you got. You got the Planned Parenthood, DNC, and ACLU, interestingly and aggressively coming out against Brett Kavanaugh, who I've said is not only immensely qualified, but has a 300 opinions that he has issued as a court of appeals judge. He's probably the most qualified nominee we've ever had. And as far as knowing what his judicial philosophy is, read his opinions. And you could find that out very quickly. But what's interesting also, so you've got a tremendous track record. There is going to be a move to stop it. I mean, there's going to be opposition. But we also now have a time frame on the hearings. We're taking your calls, by the way. We want to know what you think about this selection of Brett Kavanaugh, 1-800-684-3110. But let me go to Than Bennett, our Director of Governmental Affairs. You now have a time frame on where this nomination is going to move.
Yeah, Jay, the paperwork for this nomination was actually just received by the United States Senate. It was received at 10:13 a.m. this morning, and the Senate Judiciary Committee has already announced a planned timeline for the hearings. They are looking at the week of August 20th, so right in line with what we've been saying this week for those hearings. Jay, that would set up a scenario where you would have a vote out of committee the second week of September, that week of September 10th, and then there is even a target date for his final confirmation. That would be the week of September 17th. You'd probably have a cloture vote at the beginning of that week, and then a final confirmation vote at the end of that week. So, Jay, just what we've been saying all week, the Senate Judiciary Committee wants to put Brett Kavanaugh on the Supreme Court by the time they sit for their next term in October.
Than, you already have a prediction on how this is going to go, so do I. I believe he's going to be confirmed. I think it's, and you've said 55-plus votes possibly.
I think he's got all 51 Republican votes already in the bag. If John McCain needed to be in Washington, D.C., I believe he would be there. Jay, I think he's going to get 5 Senate Democrats at least. So I think it's going to be 56, maybe even higher, because, Jay, those Senate Democrats, they're going to have to pick between their voters and opposing along with their party leaders. And all the polling coming out today shows they better pick their voters. Otherwise, they're going to lose their seat.
Interesting. Florida, Andy, was 56% of the voters said
They were in favor of Judge Kavanaugh being confirmed. That's going to put immense pressure on Senator Nelson, the incumbent Democrat, to do the right thing and to vote for confirmation of this candidate.
Because he's in a very tight race with Rick Scott. In fact, some polls have Rick Scott ahead right now by 4 and 5 points. So, fascinating. All right, your reaction to all of this. We'll take your calls when we come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. You give us a call. Again, we'll take your calls on your reaction to the pick of Judge Brett Kavanaugh, someone I've known for a long time, to be the next justice on the Supreme Court of the United States. We'll take your calls, 800-684-3110. Back with more in just a moment.
The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Andrew is facing charges of, quote, Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. He could spend the rest of his life in a Turkish prison. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're aggressively advocating for Pastor Andrew's freedom. We've mobilized our international offices. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved, and we've submitted a critical legal document to the United Nations. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
So you've got the ACLU saying they want to know how Judge Kavanaugh would rule on a particular case. The one they use in their fundraiser, their report, is Roe versus Wade. But you could stick in any case. And say that. We want to know how the judge is going to rule on this. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, I think she was right when she, by the way, she came out of the D.C. Court of Appeals too, nominated to the Supreme Court of the United States. Here's what she said about deciding a particular case. I actually want to play the, let's go ahead and play number one.
A judge sworn to decide impartially can offer no forecasts, no hints, for that would show not only disregard for the specifics of the particular case, it would display disdain for the entire judicial process.
And that was in response to questions about how you would rule in a particular case. So, Harry, what Justice Ginsburg said, which they call now the Ginsburg rule, is actually, though, quite, I agree completely. A judge should not be forecasting how they would decide a particular case before that case comes before them.
Absolutely.
Why is that remarkable, by the way?
It isn't, except we live in a very polarized environment. And so you have people like the ACLU and Planned Parenthood. They want a declaration of how a judge will rule before the case actually comes before them. So in essence, many of the members of the left, they want judges to disregard their function as umpires and to decide cases on the basis of the law and the Constitution. Instead, it's pure politics all the way down for leftists.
You know, here's what I don't understand. I mean, you've got this standard by Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I want to break that into sections if we can, the longer bite. So we need to break that up because I want to go through that. But let's go ahead and take a phone call. Hannah's calling from Kansas on line one. Hannah, go ahead.
Hi. My question is that I'm being told by other conservative groups to urge my senator to oppose the confirmation of Judge Kavanaugh. And I'm just wondering why there's that disagreement within the conservative group.
Because some people don't understand judicial philosophy and don't understand that sometimes a decision is made that you may not personally agree with, but the law requires a decision in a particular way. But let me tell you, some of it's coming on the life issue. And here's what I want to tell you. Frank Provone, the head of Priest for Life, is going to be with us in this third segment of the broadcast. Is this somebody, Andy? We've been friends with Frank for a long, long time, and I can't quite get my hands on his statement, his press release. But I will tell you this, that it was very positive about Brett Kavanaugh, which is not surprising. But again, there are some groups that do not like the decision in the Affordable Care Act. That's another one. That happened to be our case. Brett Kavanaugh did not address the merits of the law, whether it was good or bad policy or constitutional. He said that the Anti-Injunction Act prohibited the lawsuit from going forward because it was viewed as, he viewed it as a tax. Now, ultimately, so did the Supreme Court. But I was concerned about that issue also. I mean, and any lawyer litigating the case was because of the Anti-Injunction Act. But that is a very technical ruling. So I think what's happened here is some people are looking, I don't know what they're looking for, in the sense that you've got here a judge with 300 opinions, 12 of which have been affirmed by the Supreme Court of the United States, Andy. But, I mean, you're not going to please all the people all the time.
No, you're not. It's impossible. What the president has attempted to do, I think, is find a strict constructionist, a constitutionalist, a textualist, a person with a proven record. Man has written 300 opinions. He's got an excellent education. He was an undergraduate at the Yale College and went to law school at Yale. He worked for the Bush administration as an assistant to the president. He has all the credentials necessary in order to create a Supreme Court justice who is going to do what the Constitution dictates and mandates, a strict constructionist. And that's very important, a literalist. Someone's going to read the document as it appears and is not going to gloss over it. And I think to separate the conservatives is a bad thing to do right now. I think that the Senate is going to confirm him. I think there's going to be substantial numbers of Democrats come over, as there ought to be.
So you got Chuck Schumer saying, you know, in selecting Brett Kavanaugh, the president put the health rights of women at risk, health protections for millions of Americans. You're seeing Joe Manchin, though, saying, Than, and this is, goes to the political side of this, I appreciate the president inviting me to attend tonight's announcement at the White House and look forward to meeting with the nominee in a setting where we can discuss his or her experience, judicial philosophy, and perspective on access to health care for West Virginians with pre-existing conditions. So that's an interesting aspect there. He tied that not into the issue of abortion, but rather pre-existing conditions under the Affordable Care Act. Having said all that, Than, where do you see these red state Democrats having to deal come down? I mean, because this is, I mean, it's, yep. Durbin said it. I think he's right. This is politically difficult for them, especially with the Brett Kavanaugh selection.
And he's correct. And look, I don't want our listeners to pay very careful attention to the difference that you're going to hear between statements between Chuck Schumer and Dick Durbin and Dianne Feinstein, and then senators that have to run red states as Democrats, people like Joe Donnelly and Heidi Heitkamp and Joe Manchin, John Tester, Claire McCaskill, Bill Nelson. Jay, all of them are saying that they will sit down and meet with Brett Kavanaugh and give him a fair consideration. Look, the first group of people that I mentioned, people like Cory Booker and Kamala Harris, they're running for a Democrat nomination to be president of the United States next year. They're running hard to the left to the likes of Planned Parenthood. These Senate Democrats that have to run in red states, Jay, I will make a prediction now. Brett Kavanaugh is going to get at least five of them to vote for his confirmation in the end. So if John McCain can be in Washington, D.C., that puts us at 56 votes. If he can't, it's still at 55. And by the way, Jay, a little over a decade ago, when Brett Kavanaugh was before the United States Senate, he got 57 votes, and that was a 21-vote margin. I look for something similar this time around.
So, Harry, what are you seeing when you look at the writings of Brett Kavanaugh, the judicial opinions? You've done a thorough analysis of it. What do you see? I know Brett. I know him as a lawyer. I know him as a judge. I know him, and I will know him as a justice. I'm absolutely convinced of that. He worked on some cases involving religious liberty that we were involved in, providing brilliant insight. I think this is I'm very pleased with this nomination, as you can tell. What's your sense, Harry?
Well, I totally agree. Judge Kavanaugh is strong on religious liberty, strong on administrative law in carving back the administrative state. He's strong on the separation of powers and the unitary executive. So, for instance, in the Loving versus IRS case, he cut back on IRS attempts to enforce a mandate that they created out of whole cloth, and they were going to impose it on tax return preparers. They had no statutory authority, and yet they were insisted upon their right to impose new rules and regulations. Judge Kavanaugh disallowed that. That is the type of judge that I am looking for on the United States Supreme Court. I believe he will be confirmed despite all of the noise.
Yep.
And lastly, let me add, the left at the end of the day will focus on one thing in addition to reproductive rights. They will focus on his faith, because in his statement last night, he mentioned his faith, and we all know how that played out before Senator Feinstein and Durbin with respect to Amy Barrett.
Andy, you're shaking your head.
Well, I mean, that's true. I think the faith issue is an important thing, and as Professor Hutchison pointed out, it's a terrible thing to be a faithful person today. It's a terrible thing to be committed to the dogma of your religion, a terrible thing to be a committed Roman Catholic or Greek Orthodox or Presbyterian or whatever your faith is. It's an awful thing to do that, and you're criticized for it, and you're condemned for it, and you're shunned for it, and people attack you for it. But this man had his priest there last night, which I think shows that. Yep. He talks about feeding the poor and the hungry, and he does the – that's the kind of justice I went on the Supreme Court.
Well, I'll tell you what. I will tell you this. I think we've got a great nominee here. And so I'm going to answer. We're going to answer your questions at 1-800-684-3110. We're going to take a break in a minute. But let's go. We can go ahead and get Christine on. Let's go ahead from Dallas, Texas, on line 2. Go ahead.
Hi. How are you guys? I just wanted a couple things I want to say. First, I think Trump is really smart in this nomination. I see Kavanaugh as more of a centrist, but I really see him as a constitutionalist, which I think is what we need. And if I'm not mistaken, when he was approved for the federal position, didn't he pretty much sail through that with the Democrats? I mean, was there any blocking or holdup on that part?
Initially, there was some blocking, and then when he went for a vote, it was almost 57 votes for him. So I think you're absolutely correct. He's going to sail through. I think he is he's a textualist. He's an originalist. He said that last night. Do we have that soundbite where he talks about that? He actually said he starts with the text of the Constitution, which, again, is in my view, rather not remarkable. I think it's right. I don't think it's remarkable. I think it's right. They're making like that's a big deal that he starts with the text of the Constitution.
Yeah, what a terrible thing to do is to read the text of the Constitution to begin with that, and as Justice Scalia says, to end with that.
Exactly right. Do we have that sound? All right, well, we'll play it when we come back from the break. All right, we're taking your number calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. So you believe that you start with the text of the Constitution and that's a constitutional crisis? I don't think so. But a demand that we know how you vote. I'm going to get into more of that in the second half hour of the broadcast because I'm going to break down what Ruth Bader Ginsburg said. And we'll also get that quote from Judge Kavanaugh on his judicial philosophy, which we actually have. So I'm going to play that when we come back from the break. All right, we'll take your calls. We'll be joined in a moment by Father Frank Provone, priest for life. He knows a little bit about it. He had a case before Judge Kavanaugh. So that should answer some of your questions on these issues. But again, we'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Let me tell you what it doesn't mean, though. It doesn't mean you know how a judge is going to rule in a particular case. Nor should it, despite what the ACLU says. We'll take your calls when we come back from the break. 1-800-684-3110. Back with more in just a moment.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Andrew is facing charges of, quote, Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. He could spend the rest of his life in a Turkish prison. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're aggressively advocating for Pastor Andrew's freedom. We've mobilized our international offices. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved, and we've submitted a critical legal document to the United Nations. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Thanks for joining us. We're joined on the phone by a very good friend of mine. My goodness, we've been friends for 30 years. And that is Father Frank Provona from Priest for Life. As I said, good friend. People say you need a rabbi and a priest. I always say that, Frank, and you're the priest. Thanks for being on.
Well, thank you, Jay. Thank you. It's so good to talk to you on a very historic day.
It is a historic day indeed. Look, there's some criticism coming from some of our friends about Judge Kavanaugh. You had a case in front of Judge Kavanaugh, of course. Go ahead and you wrote that you were delighted with this pick. Tell us why.
You know, this is a highly qualified judge of exactly the type that we conservatives want. We can look at it, you know, individual cases, and of course, he ruled on our side for Priests for Life against the Obama mandate, the HHS mandate. But you know, he's got, as you well know, some 300 or so cases, opinions that he's written, and the record is solid. He is a conservative. And you know, when it comes to this too, you know, Jay, we have to all approach this with a good dose of humility too. I mean, you know, I trust the president, his advisors, and people like Leonard Leo and others that you know, have been involved in this process and have been working on this day and night, nonstop, extensive consultation. And, you know, if I have a concern or if some of our conservative friends have concerns about this or that statement and this or that decision, you know, and we're afraid of, you know, are we going to be surprised? Are we going to be betrayed? Well, the people that I just mentioned, you know, they're concerned about it just as much, if not more. And so we're all going into this with eyes wide open. And, you know, a lot of us, and of course, you yourself, yep, above all, have a lot of experience in this area. We know the pitfalls, but I you know, we got to trust the decision that's been made. I certainly do. And, you know, everything I see about this man gives me confidence in the future.
Our senior counsel, Andy Economo, made a statement before, and so did Professor Hutchinson, and that is about Brett Kavanaugh's faith. And he mentioned not only his faith, but that he had his priest was in the audience. I want to play that for our audience and get your reaction to this, Frank. Let's go ahead and play Judge Kavanaugh's statement yesterday about being part of the Catholic community in D.C.
I am part of the vibrant Catholic community in the D.C. area. The members of that community disagree about many things, but we are united by a commitment to serve. Father John Ensler is here. 40 years ago, I was an altar boy for Father John. These days, I help him serve meals to the homeless at Catholic Charities.
So, of course, this also, Father Frank, is going to bring on what we think is going to be the normal attacks that you're going to see. And they did it with Amy Barrett. I don't know why they wouldn't do it with Brett Kavanaugh. What's your sense of that? I was glad his priest was there personally.
That's right. And when I heard him say that last night, I thought to myself, you know, this guy is sending a signal to the Senate. And what he's saying is, I know you're going to attack me for my faith. I know you're going to try to make that an issue. And I want to make it very clear, I am not ashamed of who I am. I am a believer. I am a practicing believer. And there is no religious test for public office in the United States. I think he's basically saying to the Senate Democrats, you know, just try, you know, you attack me on my faith, and you're going to find someone who's unapologetic about his beliefs, and at the same time, unapologetic about his judicial philosophy and how it's not about imposing beliefs. It's about interpreting the law and applying the Constitution.
I'm going to go ahead and take a phone call while you're on the phone with us, Father Frank, and that is Mary's calling from your home state and mine from New York. Mary, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm listening with interest to Father Provona, and I couldn't wait to hear what you were going to say today. I am so nervous about Kavanaugh because of what he has said on record that Roe v. Wade is a settled precedent, yeah, and that although he's got a strong background, he does seem to be a classic legal positivist, so that what the law says is right. And does he allow a role for natural law or objective morality?
Well, he's a strict constructionist. He's a constitutionalist. He's a textualist. Now, you bring up the issue of that he said he was bound by precedent. And that's true. This is another one that's not remarkable, Mary, in this context. And I appreciate you calling in. We'll get Father Frank's opinion on that, and then we'll get back to our panel at the next segment. But let me say this. He was a nominee for a court of appeals judge. So that's kind of another unremarkable statement to say you're bound by precedent, because if the Supreme Court made a decision and you're a lower court judge, you have to apply that precedent. You're not the Supreme Court. You don't get to overturn the Supreme Court of the United States. But, you know, Frank, Father Frank, for any of the hesitation that's out there, and look, John Kennedy appointed Byron White. He became one of the most conservative. Then George H.W. Bush appointed Justice Souter, who became one of the more liberals. So you could go through all the where this worked and where it didn't work. But here you've got one thing you've said, Father Frank, which I think is important to repeat, is that 300 opinions. You're not guessing about how Judge Kavanaugh views the Constitution.
That's right. There's no guessing. And there's also no guessing about the fact that any time the Supreme Court is considering a particular topic like abortion, obviously they know about the precedents. They're going to be looking back to the precedents. But at the level of the Supreme Court, in looking back at the precedents, they are free to reverse those precedents. And I'm very confident the day will come. We don't know if it's with this judge or some future appointment. The day will come when Roe v. Wade is reversed, because it is so absolutely contrary to what this country stands for in its founding documents. And I have, again, the greatest confidence that this is the type of judge we need, who would have the courage, who would see the reason for reversing a precedent in the future. So I just want to reassure our caller and everyone who's a little bit nervous. You know, there can be room for nervousness, because nobody knows the future with absolute certainty. But I'll tell you what, we're as certain as we can be in this case. And Jay, I'd like to invite people to go to a special site that I set up, SupremeCourtVictory.com. There's a prayer there. And I think with a little bit of nervousness, a lot of hope, you know, we should pray. And there is a prayer there at Supreme Court Victory for people to say between now and the actual confirmation vote. And I'd urge people to join me in doing that.
Also, let me tell you, you want to get some great information from Father Frank, you could do that at priestforlife.org. It's a great website that they have up. Father Frank, as always, great having you with us. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Blessings to you, Jay. Talk to you soon.
Very good. So here's what I want to say, so people understand, and I'm going to go to Harry and Andy really quickly on this. Look, no one can predict how a judge is going to rule on a particular case. That's just fact. You cannot predict how they're going to rule on a particular case. Can I say this judge or that judge is going to overturn Roe versus Wade or overturn some other case? I don't know. I want to know what their judicial philosophy is. What I don't want to do, and I'm going to talk about it in the next half hour, is ask a judge to prejudge a case when they're being confirmed. To me, Harry, Ruth Bader Ginsburg was right. We're going to get into that in the next half hour of the broadcast. But that, again, these are rather unremarkable statements.
Absolutely. And so last night, Judge Kavanaugh said, "My judicial philosophy is straightforward. A judge must be independent and must interpret the law, not make the law. A judge must interpret statutes as written, and a judge must interpret the Constitution as written, informed by history, tradition, and precedent. I am not sure we could ask for anything more than that."
Andy?
No, I mean, that's the best thing you can ask. You know, the president is the president. He is the chief executive officer of the United States. He makes evaluations. He is not a prophet.
Right.
He cannot say what someone is going to ultimately do, but he can do what we usually do. We can make an educated guess, an estimate about the future based upon someone's past.
All right, we're going to take your phone calls when we come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110. Great program, great questions coming in, too. We appreciate that again, 800-684-3110. Don't forget, we're in a matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org. Your support of the ACLJ is doubled this month, and we really appreciate your help there, ACLJ.org. We've got a lot more to discuss, so when we come back from the break, I'm going to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Be back with more in the next 30 minutes.
The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Judge Kavanaugh is now the nominee to the Supreme Court of the United States. Interestingly, the ACLU, and I'm going to get into this coming up, has said that they need to send an urgent message to the senators now. The president's Supreme Court nominee must take a public position. In this case, they asked about Roe versus Wade before the confirmation vote. In other words, tell us how you will vote on a case before you hear the case. You could take out Roe v. Wade and put in 14 other cases and say the same thing. That makes no sense. And it makes no sense because of what, and I think correctly what Judge Justice Ginsburg said. She was then Judge Ginsburg saying, we don't prejudge cases, Harry. That is not what the role of a confirmation process is to determine how you're going to rule on a particular case.
Judges judge cases and controversies. They look at what is before them, and then they are guided by the Constitution and the statutory language. So what the ACLU is asking for is truly extraordinary. The subtext of their statement, of course, is an essential attack on Judge Kavanaugh's faith. That's really what they are after. They don't like judges who may even have a pro-life bone in their body. They want to excise judges from the courtroom who would even consider voting for a pro-life agenda.
All right. Let me take Maureen's call because we're getting a couple of these. I want to take these. So we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Maureen, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks so much for taking my call. So I have been listening through your whole show and heard an earlier caller ask about if you could elaborate on your point of view about Judge Kavanaugh, because she is hearing from other conservative groups to call her senators to vote against him. And I know I also was watching Fox and Friends this morning, and Judge Napolitano said that in his viewpoint, the swamp won with Judge Kavanaugh's selection as our next Supreme Court member. So I was hoping, I know you're immensely legally talented, but I am not. And I was hoping that you could break down your point of view and why you advocate for him and kind of put us at ease.
All right. So look, here's the truth. The truth is I have been litigating cases before the Supreme Court for more than three decades, going on decade four. So I've been doing this a long time. You're not going to know how a judge is going to rule in a particular case. I mean, that's just not realistic. But you do learn about the judicial philosophy, especially when you have a nominee like Brett Kavanaugh, who I've known for a long time, worked with him when he was in the White House, worked with him when he was in private practice on religious liberty cases. We've reviewed his opinions. We've had cases in front of him. I will tell you this, and this is just fact. I mean, he told you how he views the Constitution. Let's play that soundbite. We've got time to do that. I want to play that soundbite because I think it's very, very important to play the one about that. Take a listen to this.
My judicial philosophy is straightforward. A judge must be independent and must interpret the law, not make the law. A judge must interpret statutes as written, and a judge must interpret the Constitution as written, informed by history and tradition and precedent.
I think that's exactly correct. I mean, that's exactly correct. The judicial philosophy is straightforward. A judge must be independent, of course, must interpret the law, not make the law. Those are the things we look for on constitutional conservatives. A judge must interpret statutes as written. In other words, not reading something into it that's not in the text. And a judge must interpret the Constitution as written. In other words, don't start coming up with other countries' constitutions to influence the United States Constitution. So again, while it's rather unremarkable, in my sense, in a good way, that is what a conservative judicial philosophy is. He said it. It was articulate. And you've seen that in 300 opinions. I hope that helps. All right. We come back from the break. More of your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Quickly, Than, the breakdown on time frame here.
You're looking at a hearing the last week of August, or maybe the second to last week of August, a final confirmation vote, Jay, in late September, probably on Friday, September 21st. That's the target timeline. But the next date to look for, Jay, is that August 20th set of hearings inside the Senate Judiciary Committee, probably 4 days worth of hearings.
Yeah. All right, there you have it. So we're going to, I think, before the first Monday in October, we've got nine justices on the Supreme Court of the United States. We'll take your calls, 1-800-684-3110. We come back from the break. That's 1-800-684-3110.
The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Andrew is facing charges of, quote, Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. He could spend the rest of his life in a Turkish prison. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're aggressively advocating for Pastor Andrew's freedom. We've mobilized our international offices. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved, and we've submitted a critical legal document to the United Nations. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
So Brett Kavanaugh from the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia is the nominee to the Supreme Court of the United States. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Look, I mean, I think I have no doubt that he gets confirmed. I mean, I can't imagine a scenario where he does not get confirmed. Having said that, and it's still a narrow victory. The path is narrow. But let's talk about the key states that are involved here, Tham, because when you look at the breakdown of the of what I would call the states that are in play right now for the midterms, Florida, Indiana, Missouri, North Dakota, West Virginia, those those statistics, the polling we're starting to see on this issue are very significant. What are you finding?
Well, you're talking about 10 Democrats, Jay, that are running in states that Donald Trump won, some by enormous margins, like West Virginia. He won by 42 points. Senator Joe Manchin is running for re-election there. Jay, in West Virginia, 59% of West Virginia voters in a poll conducted today, overnight by the Terrence Group, want Brett Kavanaugh confirmed. And you see similar numbers in all the other states you talked about, just to run through them quickly. 56% of voters in Florida, Jay, that's a huge number in Florida, want Brett Kavanaugh confirmed. That's a lot of pressure on Bill Nelson. 56% in Indiana for Senator Donnelly, 57% in Missouri, Claire McCaskill, and 68% in North Dakota, Heidi Heitkamp. So, Jay, I've been saying that these senators are going to have to choose between their voters and their party leaders. These polls bear that out. Their Senate seat is literally on the line in November if they oppose this nominee. And, Jay, I didn't even reference John Tester in Montana. The numbers in Montana are going to be very similar as well.
Yeah, West Virginia, Joe Manchin, 59%. I mean, these are big numbers, Andy.
Well, I think they are. I mean, what it is also, in my view, not only indicative of the fact that they want Judge Kavanaugh confirmed, but these numbers indicate to me confidence in President Trump. Because I think it shows that they believe that the president has chosen a candidate for the Supreme Court that has the credentials, the impeccable credentials, the pedigree, the record that is what we want in a new Supreme Court justice to fill Justice Kennedy's seat. So I think these senators would be committing political suicide if they voted against the nomination and the confirmation of Brett Kavanaugh.
Yeah. What's your sense, Harry, when you look at the politics, you look at the numbers, what's your sense of this?
Well, Jay, I would say to be a successful politician, the first thing you have to do is to be able to count. And these politicians, in my judgment, can count. And so they are seeing the same numbers that Than referenced. And so it would be unintelligent on their part to vote against this particular nominee. He is well qualified. He is a strong conservative. He strongly supports religious liberty, the separation of powers, and he wants to carve back the administrative state. Most Americans agree with Judge Kavanaugh on those positions. And so, again, I think those politicians in so-called red states, they can count, and they'll reach the right decision at the end of the day.
You know, I would say that about, I was never a great math student, but when the Supreme Court, you got to get five votes, you can count to five. If then that doesn't only work out that way, by the way, but that's the standard. Interesting, we've got comments coming on. One from James on Facebook says, can you elaborate on his ruling on the Affordable Care Act? Yes, it was a technical ruling on if the Obamacare was a tax, which we know it is because it was part of the tax code now, then his view is an anti-injunction act prohibited that kind of lawsuit from going forward. It was that technical. And I think you've got to understand, and that was my case, our case, so I understand the technicality. You could argue, there's different ways you could argue that. We did. He found it to be a tax. Ultimately, that's what the Supreme Court said, and ultimately it's in the tax code. But I'm just saying for the fact is, look, you cannot judge a justice or a judge who's being nominated to be a justice on one case. You got to look at the overall record and see what you've got. And I think that clearly with Judge Kavanaugh, it's a conservative judicial philosophy. I mean, that's what it is. Doesn't mean how you can rule in a particular case. I think a lot of this becomes red herrings. You know, how's you going to rule in this case? How's you going to rule in that case? But again, we'll take your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Having said we'll take your calls, let's go ahead and take Barbara's from Illinois. Barbara, you're on the air.
Yes, my question is, what happens if he is not confirmed?
Well, look, let me play for you what was going on at the Supreme Court of the United States yesterday from Bernie Sanders and others that were, just so you understand what the opposition is, then I'll walk you through what happens. Here we go.
Are you ready for a fight? We have the American people on our side. Now we've got to go state by state by state to make sure that senators do what their constituents want.
There you have it. So Barbara, that gives you the sense of this. Fan is already, your resistance is already coming. We're already getting the announcements to be expected. Look, you got to counter it. It's a free country. They get to express their views. I think that's great. But then you got to express your view, and that's part of this. Go ahead, Fan.
Jay, I hope that Senate Democrats take Bernie Sanders' advice, because if they vote according to what their constituents want, Brett Kavanaugh is going to get 65 or 70 votes in the United States Senate. So sure, go ahead. Listen to Senator Sanders. Vote according to the voters in your state. Support the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh and watch him sail through. Look, here's the answer to the caller's question, though, Jay. You're not going to have to worry about this because Brett Kavanaugh is going to get confirmed. Of course, you could put forward another nominee. But, Jay, I'm a baseball guy. When you have the number one draft pick, that guy goes to the United States Senate, he's going to get confirmed. So yes. I don't even think we have to walk down the path of what happens next if he doesn't.
I agree. Look, I mean, the president made a great pick. I mean, again, people are picking this opinion and that opinion. We got 300. Guess what? If you're a judge and you've written 300 opinions, Andy, I think it's fair to say there are going to be some you disagree with.
There's going to be a lot that you disagree with, but that's not the point. The point is, did in arriving at those opinions, the judge who wrote them follow the law and the Constitution and the statutes as they are written? And I bet if you look at those opinions, you will see that Judge Kavanaugh probably did just that.
Well, we know it, actually, because, Harry, you've reviewed a lot of these opinions.
Absolutely. So if you look at each and every opinion, you will find a consistent theme. Judge Kavanaugh is a clear conservative. He reads the Constitution and the text of the statute first. He does not import into the case his personal policy preferences. That's what you want in a judge. You want an umpire. You want an observer who actually adheres to the rule of law as opposed to the rule of personal preferences.
So, again, he said his judicial philosophy is straightforward. A judge must be independent and must interpret the law. What does that mean, Andy?
Exactly that. You don't make your decision based on anything but what the facts are, as those have been found in the case of an appellate judge, as those have been found by the trial court or by the court below, and you then simply take the law and apply them to those facts and make a determination as to whether the law has been properly or improperly applied by the court below. Remember, the Supreme Court of the United States is a court for the correction of errors of law. And the way you do that is to determine whether or not the Constitution and the statutes have been adhered to.
Then he says also that his job is not to make law. We talk about that, Professor Hutchins is saying. In other words, judges do not create law. They are interpreting it. They're not creating it. They don't legislate from the bench.
Absolutely. And that is why the left is so upset. They are looking for judges who will create the law in their own image. And so it's very important to note that the left does not believe in the Constitution. So they therefore want a justice appointed to the Supreme Court who accepts their non-belief in the Constitution. They want to emphasize, they want to reify personal preferences.
A judge must interpret the statutes as written. A judge must interpret the Constitution as written. We talk about that as being an originalist, a textualist, and that's how you have to start, Andy.
That's right, and you also end that way. You look at the Constitution as a document that was drafted in the 18th century. It has applicability today because it constitutes the framework within which we operate. The Constitution, if there's something in there that you don't like about it, there's an amendment process, but there's not an interpretation process. A judge should never say, in interpreting the Constitution, I feel. He should say, or she should say, this is what the law says. Too many times, justices like Ginsburg and Sotomayor, in the opinions that I have read, feel a certain way, and then they express that in legislating from the bench. That is not what Judge Kavanaugh, in my view, will do.
All right. And again, I think it's important to let's set forth the framework here. This is the Supreme Court's back in session October 1st, first Monday in October. This year is October 1st. So, Than, we now have a framework or a time frame upon which we can figure out when this hearing is going to take place and when the confirmation vote will take place.
Yeah, the timeline was already announced, Jay. It was announced right after the papers were received by the United States Senate at 10:13 a.m. this morning from the president. They said that they're aiming for a series of hearings on the week of August 20th. They did leave open the possibility that that might slip back to August 27th, but I think August 20th week is more likely. They're aiming for a committee vote on Thursday, September 13th, and then, Jay, final votes on the floor of the Senate the week of September 17th. Just so our listeners know, two series of votes, one at the beginning of the week, it's a cloture vote, and then final confirmation probably Friday, September 21st. So about 10 days in advance of that October 1 date.
All right, very good. We're coming to the last segment of the broadcast. We'll take your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Then I'm going to go through what was called the Justice Ginsburg Rule, the Ginsburg Rule. Very important for you to understand that. 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air in this last segment, we try to get to as many calls as we can. Also, don't forget, we're in our matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Back with more, including your phone calls at 800-684-3110. We come back.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Andrew is facing charges of, quote, Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. He could spend the rest of his life in a Turkish prison. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're aggressively advocating for Pastor Andrew's freedom. We've mobilized our international offices. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved, and we've submitted a critical legal document to the United Nations. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Last segment, taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We've got John calling in from Washington State on line one. John, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I'm so excited about Brett Kavanaugh's nomination to the Supreme Court for a couple of reasons. I think that he will defend the Constitution, preserve the rule of law, and a statement that I heard was made that he would strengthen the foundation of the country. Now, that's good for conservatives. It's also good. I believe somebody would disagree with that, but it's also good for liberals.
Well, look, I think as someone that I think that's right. I don't think this is a partisan issue on how the Constitution was written, Harry. I mean, I just don't see that it becomes that because it becomes a litmus test analysis for a Supreme Court pick, which it should not be. And we're going to get into that in a moment.
I think you're absolutely correct. So the clear and the key distinction is looking at the Constitution from a short run perspective vis-a-vis a long term perspective. Many on the left, they examine the Constitution with respect to whether or not they can come up with an argument that advances their political position in the short run. In the long run, if we interpret the law based on a short-term perspective, it actually damages both liberals and conservatives, and it undermines the foundation of the republic.
All right, so I want to go through the question of should Judge Kavanaugh, according to the ACLU, answer how he's going to rule in a particular case. Let me play for you first again. This is bite number 40. This is from then Judge Ginsburg. She was a judge on the D.C. Court of Appeals, right where Brett Kavanaugh came from. Listen to number 40.
You are well aware that I come to this proceeding to be judged as a judge, not as an advocate. Because I am and hope to continue to be a judge, it would be wrong for me to say or to preview in this legislative chamber how I would cast my vote on questions the Supreme Court may be called upon to decide.
Correct. So when you hear the questions to Judge Kavanaugh about how will you rule in this case or how will you rule in this issue, we should be reminded what then Judge Ginsburg had to say. And again, I keep saying the statement, rather unremarkable, but important.
Yeah. No, I would agree with her statement totally. And if I were Judge Kavanaugh and were asked a question or make an opening statement, I would quote her because right. She's absolutely right in what she said. Yeah. I don't know whether she followed that ultimately, but she was right in what she said.
Well, she just said she wasn't going to prejudge it. We can't read their minds. All right, then this came up. So in other words, this came up in her opening statements. Listen to number 41.
Were I to rehearse here what I would say and how I would reason on such questions, I would act injudiciously. Judges in our system are bound to decide concrete cases, not abstract issues. Each case comes to court based on particular facts, and its decision should turn on those facts and the governing law stated and explained in light of the particular arguments the parties or their representatives present.
In other words, Andy, hear the arguments in a case, read the briefs before you come to a decision.
That's right. In other words, be a judge, not an advocate, and be a textualist, be concrete. Don't give advisory opinions. Don't judge on hypotheticals. Judge on the actual law and the facts as they are before you.
Senator Orrin Hatch, during the confirmation hearings of then Judge Ginsburg, asked this question. I want you to listen to his statement in question and the response.
During the Souter and Thomas hearings, they had to answer that question. That's all I'm saying. Now, I'm going to let it go because I respect the judge and I have a great deal of fondness and appreciation for her. But I don't think that's a tough question. Is it in the Constitution? Is it constitutional?
I'm glad that you respect my view that I'm not going to pledge not to take, that there is a position that I will not take. I have told you my view of judging. There are other people on this committee who would like to pin me down to what am I going to do in the next case.
Sure.
Yeah, so there you have it. And I think, Harry, very articulate by Justice Ginsburg and the right answer.
Absolutely. It is the absolute correct rule. Judges must decide concrete cases before them, not abstractions. This is consistent with our history and our traditions. However, many on the left are prepared to ignore our history and traditions when it suits their political preferences.
So I'm going to go to Than Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs. We could take wagers on how long it's going to take before they start asking Judge Kavanaugh how you're going to rule in a particular case. And I don't think it's going to take very long.
It's already started, Jay. We're already hearing it from Cory Booker and Kamala Harris. We heard it from Senator Gillibrand in front of the Supreme Court last night. Fortunately, Senator Gillibrand won't get the opportunity to question Brett Kavanaugh because she doesn't sit on the Judiciary Committee. But, Jay, I think it'll probably happen 30 or 40 times during this hearing. Brett Kavanaugh will be asked about a specific case. Roe v. Wade will certainly be among them, but there will be others, too.
Sure.
He will be asked for an answer. He'll give an answer similar to Justice Ginsburg. And guess what? That probably won't be enough for these nominees. And I just want to tell our listeners in advance, the reason it won't be enough for Kamala Harris and Cory Booker is because they are trying to get the nomination to run against President Trump in 2020. That's the only reason that they're going to push him on this, and he will be right to resist an answer.
So this is what was going on in front of the Supreme Court yesterday. This is Senator Gillibrand.
Stand against Kavanaugh. Stand against Kavanaugh. Stand against Kavanaugh. Stand against Kavanaugh. Stand against Kavanaugh.
Yeah. Meanwhile, some of the groups actually sent out their press release where they didn't even have the name of the judges because the White House kept this very close, and they didn't know who the name of the judge was. They put XXX, and then they had their prepared statement. Whoever the judge is, this is what's going to be said. So anyways, there you have it. So that's the nature of what this is going to be. Look, I think it's going to be a contentious hearing, Andy. I mean, because this is just the nature of the body politic we now live in.
I mean, it's going to be very contentious. It's going to be acrimonious. There are going to be allegations about this and that. The assassins are going to come out. The knives are going to be pulled. It's going to be a Kristallnacht in the style that we have seen in terms of the assassination of this man's character and the attempt to bring him down. But in the end, if he holds true to his judicial philosophy, and if he holds true to his faith as he has espoused it, he is going to be confirmed.
And I don't have any question that he's going to be confirmed. And I think it's over 55 votes. Now, you only have to have 50 plus one. So there you have it. But look, it's very hard to argue with whether the American Bar Association is going to say Brett Kavanaugh is well qualified, which is supposedly the gold standard.
Absolutely. And indeed, he was confirmed 12 years ago by the United States Senate. What has changed? What has changed is simply he has amassed a huge record in support of a conservative judicial philosophy. And Judge Kavanaugh, I think at the end of the day, is very fortunate in his enemies, like Senator Gillibrand, because many of these enemies, they do not understand the United States Constitution.
All right, so let me go to Than. You're our government affairs expert. You head up that department. He is confirmed.
Yeah, the acrimony is not going to hurt Brett Kavanaugh. He's going to get 55, 56 votes as a floor. You know who the acrimony is going to hurt, Jay? It's going to hurt people like Bill Nelson, Joe Donnelly, Claire McCaskill, Heidi Heitkamp, Joe Manchin, and John Tester, because they're going to have to make a choice between their voters and their party leaders. If they choose their party leaders, they're going to lose their Senate seat.
All right. That's going to do it for the broadcast today. A lot more are coming up in the days ahead. I'm sure we'll be covering this topic as it's warranted over the days ahead. We're taking your calls tomorrow. At 800-684-3110. The reason I'm saying that is sometimes people call right in the beginning, and that's a good way to get into the program. So if you want it, it's good to hear the topic, but 1-800-684-3110 if you ever want to do that. And also don't forget our matching challenge campaign, aclj.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at aclj.org.